Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right, it is a polygon sandwich, or maybe a polygon doubleheader. I'm not quite sure what to call it, but what I do know is that both Sumit Sarkar and Owen Good are here. Welcome, Mr. Good. Welcome, Mr. Sarkar. How are you fellas? Ah, there you go. A polygon manwich. Well done, sir. Sumit Sarkar, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. I'm having another Sam Adams beer to celebrate America and our amazing women's national team winning the World Cup. It's been a wonderful weekend, and that was a tremendous kicker, no pun intended.
And Owen Good, welcome as well. We are recording this on a Sunday night. Owen, you are in your fortress of solitude, ready to tackle yet another huge week, I'm sure.
Yes, it is 11 p.m., and like Sumit, I have enjoyed many beverages in celebration of our fantastic women's national team and their triumph in the World Cup.
And what a game it was. Yes, we are recording this just a few hours after the game. And by the time this goes live, obviously, about a week will have passed. So it probably begs the question, will, by the time that FIFA 16 comes out, and, you know, the well spoken about, we've already talked about this quite a bit, will the will the women's teams, the 12 that are still there, will that have the same sort of juice that it would necessarily have had the game released a little bit closer to the actual Women's World Cup? Owen, what do you think?
It'd be nice if we had Women's World Cup teams in a video game available right now. Unfortunately, we don't. So I think when FIFA 16 launches in September, there will be, you know, a couple of weeks where people write about playing with the women's teams, and then that will be it. It would have been better had FIFA 15 introduced women's teams, and people obviously would be writing about that now. I don't think it would help them sell next year's game, though. And that's kind of where you see the marketing and development sides meet. Mm-hmm. So, great victory for the United States women's national team tonight. I guess we're going to have to wait to see it play out on our screens with the Xbox One or PlayStation 4.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think in some ways having, you know, Team USA win the game probably was one of the better case scenarios for FIFA when it comes to, you know, the sort of people getting excited about it. Now, obviously, FIFA is a global game, you know, the video game, well, the real game, too. But the video game is certainly a global game. I would imagine, Sumit Sarkar, that EA is probably a little happy that the U.S. women's national team won because obviously they're in FIFA 16. And that probably gives them a little bit more of an added little kick, I would think, even though it is coming out probably 6 or 7 weeks after the Women's World Cup final.
Sure, absolutely. You know, these past few weeks, every time that the U.S. Women's National Team has been in a game, my Twitter feed has been awash with people, with every single chance, going nuts on Twitter and obviously, you know, today everybody was talking about their amazing start, you know, going up 4-0 in the first 16 minutes. It was the same thing with the men's World Cup run last year, which, you know, obviously, they didn't make it all the way, unfortunately. But it's so wonderful when you have these global events like the World Cup and like the Olympics to see how they can unite an entire nation, regardless of whether you follow the sport, normally, in season or whatever. That's the power that these international competitions have. And so right now, obviously everyone's riding that high of the win and I'm sure it'll linger for a little bit. And then, of course, you know, you know, there won't be nearly as much excitement in a year about women's soccer necessarily. Hopefully this will, you know, bring that up a little bit. You know, I saw a lot of tweets from people who are saying, oh man, like my daughter wants to be the next Carly Lloyd on, you know, she plays like youth soccer or whatever. So that's great for the sport. It's great for the U.S. And also, as you're saying, I think great for EA in that, that soccer in general as a whole has gained a much larger following in North America over the past decade, I would say. FIFA, the video game, has probably been has played some role in that, certainly, and to have that dovetail with the addition of women's teams this year, including the U.S., but not including Japan, unfortunately, will I think, be a boon for EA.
So that is obviously, you know, we're talking about the Women's World Cup, obviously, as we mentioned, just because it just wrapped. But there is a game coming out very soon, next couple of weeks. That is easy for me to say, right? Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf. It is not named. It does not have a year, named to it, which we'll get into a little bit more about that. But level 1 to 10, right? Just give me a number off the top. Owen Good, what's your level of excitement for PGA Tour coming out?
6. And I say, that as somebody who, you know, has played this game a lot, especially over the past 5 years. I mean, we'll get into the specifics why, but I just, there are some things that it has said and put out there that make me, you know, very, tepid in my enthusiasm for the game.
Sumit Sarkar, level 1 to 10, your level of excitement for PGA Tour.
Yeah, I'm right there with Owen. I'll say a 6. Basically, I'm really worried at this point that we have another NHL 15 situation on our hands with Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. Namely, it's the series' debut on the new consoles, and the promotional campaign has been a little weird in terms of how they've been rolling out their announcements, what they've been saying, what they haven't been saying. And, something just doesn't smell right with the way they've been doing it. And now, obviously, the confirmation that coming out of E3 of the truncated course list is the latest announcement that I think leaves people feeling worried about what this game is actually going to turn out to be.
You know, it's interesting because I'm ready for a brand new high definition next generation golf. Like level 1 to 10, I'm probably at a 9. You know, now that has to do with a few things. I think number one, it's been, you know, several months since a new sports game has come out. MLB The Show is obviously the last major game that came out. So that's one reason. Another reason is that I really enjoy golf games. The Golf Club, which I still play. In fact, just a couple days ago, I got back in and played a couple of rounds so that I could get my handicap in a little better spot, and was playing, you know, against Chris Sanner's ghost, you know, which was kind of fun. So the fact that I've thoroughly enjoyed the Golf Club and have continued to, not just for the first few days, but really ever since it's come out, has me, ready, because some of the things that the Golf Club doesn't necessarily do are things that PGA Tour may do. And by that, I mean like really true high definition visuals and things like that. Now, I don't know if PGA Tour is going to look great and play great, but I think initial indications are that it's a good looking game. So I'm all the way there. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to pick it up day one. I may or may not be doing a review, you know, which, you know, if I do a review, great. And if I don't, great, I'm still going to go get it day one. So, I'm surprised, but I guess I understand where you're coming from. I guess the thing about it with me is, Sumit, you mentioned you feel like it's kind of an NHL situation. I feel the opposite way. With NHL, we didn't find out until a day or two, I think, before the game came out, the various modes that were not in and the various sort of things that that, you know, we had sort of expected because the template had been set by other sports games previously, basically would be feature complete with the previous gen, and obviously NHL wasn't. With PGA Tour, we've known for four weeks or so, right? Between when we found out the number of courses and the number of players versus when the game comes out, that's, you know, at least a month and maybe more. So I go into this eyes wide open, sort of, you know, having a tacit understanding at least of the amount of time and effort that it takes to put courses together properly, you know, in the next gen world, all the assets that it takes, the extra art and things. So, you know, I don't exactly know why, but I'm not at a six. I'm definitely at a nine. I want to go back to the NHL 16 NHL 15 comment. Anybody who's getting PGA Tour knows well in advance what they're getting and what they're not getting. So I want to follow that up a little bit more, Sumit, where you sort of made a comparison between the two.
Yeah. To be specific, I meant that the way that not necessarily the way that they promoted or talked about the game, because yes, you know, we have an idea of, or you know, we have the exact course list now, and we have the golfer list, but I think more in I should have said less so in the way of the promotional campaign, but more so just in the way of what the actual game is, in terms of the amount of content on the disc, so to speak. You know, yes, there is going to be a career mode. Yes, there is going to be some real-life golfers and you know, a lot of the courses that you've come to know and enjoy playing on. But, you know, NHL had a game that played great on the ice, but it wasn't just that a lot of the modes we loved weren't there. It was also that the modes that were there were scaled back, you know, kind of half-baked, missing, you know, features within those modes. And here, what you have with Rory McIlroy PGA Tour is the courses are the main draw for any of these games. And I think when you look at the course list you have here versus any of the course list for pretty much every single Tiger Woods PGA Tour game on the previous generation, it pales in comparison. And when you going back to that NHL 15 comparison, it's not so much the people who are buying this game won't know what they're getting into, but it is that similar sensation of, hey, you know, you took a year off on this new generation of consoles, right? Because, you know, NHL 14, while it launched before the PS4 and Xbox One did it, you know, it wasn't available on PS4 and Xbox One. The first one was NHL 15 on those consoles. And, you know, there was no Tiger Woods PGA Tour 15. There was only PGA Tour 14, and the franchise took a year off, and now they're back with Rory McIlroy this year. And yet, you know, for whatever reason, whether it is a disk storage issue, which, you know, we haven't confirmed, or it is, you know, just maybe, oh, they couldn't get it done in time. Well, it's like you're shipping with, what, 8 courses and then 9 if you pre-order, right? So it is that feeling for me of going back to NHL 15 of just feeling like, you know, if you're going to tell me that you didn't have the time, like, what have you been doing?
Well, is that a fair sentiment, Owen Good, right? Because and I'm not suggesting it is or it isn't, right? But I mean, you know, knowing how much more it takes to make things for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, I mean, my goodness, all we see, it seems like, are when new games launch, just terrible problems and, you know, missing or, you know, bugs and online functionality
That's true, but the environment in which these sports video games operate, that's not been the problem. I mean, you know, MLB, the show, while it did take, what, a month after its PS3 cousin, you know, to launch in 2014, right? It still had, you know, it still had all of the environments of Major League stadiums, right? you know, things around it. Now, I understand that a golf course is a completely different thing. And I know that rendering it or re-rendering it, you know, especially for either the higher well, I don't know that it's really truly higher definition, but definitely for a higher performance and frame rate and things like that. You know, that takes some technical work that I don't understand. But I don't think that this is – I don't think they took the scanning technology that they used on Augusta National and went out to every single course that they, you know, have in this game and employed it there. You know, I think that would take a team of handlers, you know, larger than they have on staff – and it would take a contracted staff that they wouldn't be willing to do. So I don't think that it has anything to do with the courses themselves. And so therefore, I don't think that, you know, I think that 2 years is enough to get more than, you know, eight courses into this game. I think if there's a reason that they're going to hold back on the number of real world courses in Rory McIlroy PGA Tour, you know, it's because of some other limitation. And frankly, it might be because of, you know, the size or the delivery, you know, necessary if you're going to sell this thing digitally. Although I have seen others say that the game, the full game itself, is something like 23 gigabytes, which still, I mean, good Lord, I know that our friends overseas have better internet throughput than we do. But 23 gigabytes is a hell of a lot to ask if you're going to download something. And if you have, you know, courses that themselves are 1 or 2 gigabytes on top of that, you know, it gets to be a lot. So I don't know. I really don't want to cop out here, and I don't want to carry water for EA Sports. I do love the series. I think it should have more than eight real-world courses in it. I think that because of the format change, the platform change, there is some increase in memory, you know, usage, size, whatever. And I just don't know where the reasonable middle is in between. This has been a series that has always sold additional courses as downloadable content, A, because you couldn't fit enough on the disc or within the space, you know, people expected of the game, B, because the marketplace doesn't really care for the kinds of things that agitate video gamers in general or sports video gamers in specific. They're people who buy one game and this is it, and then are happy with it and are happy to plunk down an additional, you know, 10, 20, 40, whatever dollars, you know, to buy all of the rest of the courses. And I'm sure that EA has, you know, telemetry that, you know, that tells them that. So it's a very difficult situation. It's hard to accuse the development staff of shirking a duty that may be beyond its control technically or may be imposed upon it from management. But the bottom line is you've got eight real world courses and that's it. And that is not 20. And that's what you have. Well, I can't remember. Well, I don't know. I can't remember how many of those mythical courses were in Tiger Woods PGA Tour 14. But you have eight, and that's not 16, and it's not 20. And those were the course sizes on the previous two editions of this golf game, and that's not good.
So, and are there, like, in the career mode, right? This is something that a bunch of people have asked me. So in the career mode, am I just playing the same eight courses over and over again? Or are there a bunch of, like, unlicensed courses or things that round out? Or is it really just eight or nine? Because I know there's a few fantasy courses as well. So, like,
well, to interject there, you have had, and I went back and looked at this, you have had the option to modify your tour events, you know, to change their locations and the courses. And that's been in the past. And I suppose that will carry over to now. But again, you're still dealing with you know, there's eight courses. I mean, who's going to stage a PGA Tour event on that Battlefield course we saw at E3 last year,
right,
with Battleship crashing through it?
Right.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. But I think the other question is the other thing that I don't really know, I have assumed it's important, is the career mode in the PGA Tour series. because I'm told all the time, you know, how people create themselves or create someone else they know and play through the career, and that is their most important mode of play. And if it truly is, and you've only got, you know, 8 courses on the disc, you're going to be spending a lot of money to flesh out that career, or you're going to be going online. And I don't know, you know, what are the online improvements this game has offered, because to give it the benefit of the doubt somewhat, and we haven't heard anything about additional features, you know, this is a game that has really tried to make, or at least to accommodate, the social nature of golf, you know, as a sport, you know, and create things like, you know, country clubs or, you know, one-on-one matches or playing against those, not the avatars, but the ghost shot trails and things like that. And if maybe that's the direction in which this game is leaning. If it is, you know, we'll have to see. I would like to see what they're going to do to push us in that direction to play against other people. But as we understand the PGA Tour series that has been built by Electronic Arts, it's still a very personal thing, and it's something that you play by yourself.
You know, there's a lot of different directions to go. One of the directions I want to go is, for years on this show, we have talked about, of all of the, you know, big-time AAA sports franchises, the one that is least lends itself to an annual release is PGA Tour. And so after the last Tiger Woods, it's been a couple of years. You know, I think there was probably, and I don't know this, I'm hypothesizing, but I'm sure there was some debate at the higher levels of EA whether to even bring, you know, continue the series. I mean, I don't know the sales numbers, but I don't recall a Tiger Woods game ever being in like the NPD top 10 or 20 or something like that. And I would assume it's a fairly expensive game to make through because of the licenses and things like that. So the fact is that this game is not doesn't have the year 2015 or 2016 attached to it. There have been rumors and innuendo on like a post on an Operation Sports forum, somebody sort of claiming to be, you know, in the know, saying, you know, it's purposely not, and, you know, it's not going to be an annual series. There's going to be stuff that's going to be added to it moving forward. You know, what you launch with won't be what you finish with, and some of it might even not cost money. So, and that's another reason that I'm sort of, and maybe I'm just being naive or whatever, I'm sort of trying to give it the benefit of the doubt as to what's going to launch may be particularly good for the first couple of months, and they might back that up with some, you know, new courses and new content and things like that, maybe not at a significant price. Obviously, there will be paid DLC, there won't be. But so does all the fact that there's not really a core understanding as to the nature of PGA Tour, of Rory McIlroy PGA Tour, sort of how it's going to, what it's going to be. Is it going to be like the golf club where it just sort of keeps on going? Or is it going to be an annual title? How it's going to be supported? And the past with all of the paid DLC, that probably adds a lot of sort of the uncertainty to it as well. Would you agree with that, Sumit?
Yeah, certainly. When you've got people who love a particular golf course and buy, you know, and who bought Tiger Woods PGA Tour for multiple years in a row and had to rebuy that course for, you know, whatever, $5.99 or however much they sold those courses for every year in a row, you know, obviously you had people start to ask, well, hey, why can't my purchase transfer from year to year if you're not, you know, the game's not looking any different and the course doesn't change, obviously. So here, you know, if they are turning Rory McIlroy PGA Tour into a platform like Harmonix is doing with Rock Band 4, where, you know, there's not going to be a Rock Band 5, at least not any time in the near future, and they're just going to keep putting music out, you know, that certainly changes the equation. At the same time, we don't know whether... You know, we don't know the business model yet. Now, you know, for what you were saying about benefit of the doubt, EA has said, and this is all they've confirmed so far, is that there will be, the quote was, free content updates post-launch, unquote. So that's all they've said. They have not even confirmed whether those content updates will be courses. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll add modes, or maybe there will be courses. And again, the eight and courses that are on the disc, you know, nine if you pre-order. We don't know. I should stress, we don't know why the other ones are missing, right? We do know that Augusta National. I believe this was confirmed that it's a, you know, a licensing issue with Augusta National. I guess their contract had run out, and then they hadn't renewed it or something like that. But having said all of that, when you just look at what people are getting for their $60 on July 14th, they're getting eight courses on the disc, and they're getting nine if they pre-order. But the courses they're not getting, you know, think about this franchise, people who've played it for years and years. Pebble Beach, Torrey Pines, Bethpage Black, and, you know, Augusta National as well. You know, those are four courses that are, you know, renowned in the game of golf and have appeared in this franchise before, and they're not available in this year's game. And just to go by the numbers, PGA Tour 14 had 20 courses, PGA Tour 13, and pretty much all the ones before on that generation had, you know, 16 or so courses. I think the first game on the 360, which I think was 06, had like six courses. But other than that, you know, 16 has been pretty much the standard. And so, yes, you've got your four fantasy courses to bring the total list up to 12. But when you've got this licensed golf game, people are coming to you for the courses. Golf is a game where you play, you know, your opponent is the course, right? So that's it's all about where you're playing. And while we don't know what EA is going to do after launch specifically, I think it's a big disappointment just in terms of video games are supposed to go forward when they go to a new generation. And that was part of the big disappointment with NHL 15. And when, you know, you're bringing us forward, you know, you're advertising golf without limits, where you're going to finally be able to play from hole to hole without loading between those holes. You're going to be able to play, you know, nothing out of bounds and not have to just, you know, paper over that. You know, your console limitations with a simple out of bounds notice and a two stroke penalty. You know, that stuff is all great, and that is part of what's appealing about coming to a new generation of consoles. But when you're taking such a huge step back in the course list, again, at least at launch, that's what, really disappointing to me.
So let's keep hypothesizing here, because we obviously don't have any real information, right? So July traditionally was the release of college football, right? NCAA football for years and years and years came out in July. That sort of kicked off the sports season. A couple years ago, that came to an end. You know, as you have well chronicled, Owen, you know, EA has giant holes now in their release calendar. I'm going to hypothesize that, you know, when EA decided to shut down, you know, Tiger Woods a couple of years ago, probably most, if not all, of the teams sort of scattered off to various other games, or perhaps, you know, weren't even, you know, employed anymore. Sort of the decision was probably made, okay, you know, let's bring PGA Tour back. And, you know, then it sort of came together to be Rory McIlroy. They got, you know, different people doing different things. Is it a fair hypothesis to, you know, to sort of posit that, okay, well, they're releasing it in July of 2015 because the core game, the engine, you know, what makes it work is ready. Various modes and the ability to sort of play online and do some of the social stuff is ready. And, you know, the courses, they got what they got, and they're just going to be adding to them as they go along. And they just sort of looked on the calendar and looked at their year and looked at the investment they made and said, well, we got to get something out. July's a good time. What are we going to have ready? Okay, let's release with that and then just sort of go from there, as opposed to perhaps if they waited till the group of death of September or October, when every sports game is out, and if they released it then, if more would be ready by then, you know, technically the game might be bigger, but it would just get sort of lost in the morass. Owen Good, could that be a potential scenario that sort of leads us to where we are here with Rory McIlroy coming out in July with, you know, the number, you know, the amount of content that it does have.
It's as good an explanation as any. And I just don't know what is going on inside Tiburon. and it's just, you know, it's one of these things where this is a really, this is a wild card kind of game. As Smit spelled out, you know, earlier here, you know, it's not something that depends upon an annual release, you know, because it's not a team sport with a season and all sorts of other things. And it could be a platform, you know, like the music games where you just roll out courses every year. And, you know, it could be that in a year we're all eating our words and Augusta National has come back to the fold and, you know, the Masters are available in this game, you know, by, you know, March of next year. And, of course, I mean, it won't be free if it is. But there are a lot of things that I don't understand about video game development, sports video game development, or licensed video game development, you know, beyond just the severe limitations of you can't do things with other people's property that your fans want you to do. I want to believe, you know, the best in all of this. And that, and I do actually believe the best in all of this from the development end of things. In that, you know, the team down in Florida, you know, played the hand as best as it was given, you know, with the money it was given. Now, the 2-year development cycle doesn't really, to me, speak to, again, as I said at the beginning, you know, the kind of limitation that, you know, produces only 8 courses. But, you know, I do think that this could be a dip in the toe for obviously EA Sports, not only the, you know, dominant sports publisher, but frankly the only one with you know, not respecting professional wrestling and basketball at 2K Sports, and, you know, if Konami cares to publish console video games again, soccer there. It could be a dip in the toe there for, you know, what they really always have wanted to do, which is software as a service, and that's okay. We're going to serve up a platform. They have obviously not titled it. They still, I guess, felt the need to put a professional, you know, a recognizable current sports star on the cover of it, I guess, probably because they have a retail presence. It doesn't really need it, in my opinion. But, you know, this could be the kind of thing where they go, all right, here is golf in the future. We're going to put it on discs if people want it there. But the way you're going to consume it is the way you consume it on the golf club, which is, you know, new content, even created content, although I don't think there is any content creator capability on this, unless I'm mistaken. And they're going to let it play out there. That is the best case scenario. That is the better angels of our nature scenario that I want to believe in EA Sports, because I just can't fathom that after 2 years and the development costs of 2 years on a new platform, not necessarily the licensing, just the effort that you would need for 2 years on a new platform, that they would come out of this and go, you know, you only get 8 courses free. I mean, that's just, nobody's going to buy that. Nobody's going to go along with that. And it's an affirmative communication of disrespect, for lack of a better word, of the installation base. If you were to say, hey, longtime fans, you know, you got more than a dozen in years past, you only get 8 now. I've got to think that they have something else up their sleeve.
I do too, and it's curious that they're not being more forthright. Well, forthright isn't the right word. It's curious that they're not talking more about it. You know, the communication about whatever is coming after release is very, very murky. And, you know, and again, this is all hypothesis, right? I mean, if I'm sort of looking at it, if I'm on the publisher side, there's really, I think that they made a decision that we're not going to do what we've done in the past, which is make a PGA Tour game every single year. You know, again, I don't know any specifics, but I get the feeling that as the years went on, you know, the sales for Tiger Woods went down. I think probably the Augusta National might have even saved it, basically, right? And then obviously, you know, with the DLC and the courses every single year, got a lot of people, really sort of turned a lot of people off. Like, especially sort of when you're just going through your career and you come up to a particular event and like, oh, you can't play this because you didn't buy the course. Like, things like that just got to be particularly just, you know, galling. And those were in the early days of, you know, the sort of things that are sort of taken for granted now, like, you know, sort of just with a lot of games in particular, not necessarily console games, but just the whole, you know, free-to-play conceit. That didn't really exist back in the days of Tiger Woods, and that wasn't close to free-to-play. I mean, you paid $60 for the game, and then you still had to buy more courses. It feels to me that they've made a decision that, okay, look, we're not going to do this game every year, but there's no blueprint for what they are doing. So perhaps they're not really communicating a lot of their plans or what they've got up their sleeves is because they might not know exactly how they want to do it, right? Like, I sort of get the sense that they're going to sort of see how it goes for the first 30 days or 60 days before they sort of unveil more more information about how and when certain kinds of things are going to come along, because they're just not totally sure. Like, if it comes out and it sells particularly well, they may feel a little, you know, better about charging a little bit more for more DLC versus if it doesn't, they might want to, you know, sort of build up some goodwill and say, oh, well, hey, look, you know, Rory McIlroy, 30 days after it came out, look, you got three brand new legitimate PGA Tour courses for free, you know, if you bought the game in the first month. Like, Could that be the case, Mint Sarkar? Could they literally not know exactly how they're going to approach it because it is sort of no blueprint and sort of take it as it comes and figure it out along the way? Or is that just not how things would get done at a company like EA?
No, I mean, I suppose anything is possible in our all-digital future. And as you both pointed out, if there was one of the franchises in EA's portfolio that they were going to experiment with in this way, I think, you know, PGA Tour would be it. Not just because of the, you know, lack of a season that the sport is tied to, but also because, as you were saying, Rich, you know, that the sales probably, you know, are not all that great year to year. So it's not like where people have been yelling on message boards for years, oh man, why don't they just like sell Madden once and then like you know, just you get the updates the next year and then they can spend 2 years developing the game so it's better. It's like, no, they want your $60 every year. But maybe that's not as important for PGA Tour, or you know, maybe they hired, you know, whatever actuaries and you know, they did the math and realized that, well, you know, we don't necessarily lose all that much money by electing not to publish the game annually. And in fact, we can continue to sell additions like courses and new features year over year. And eventually, you know, we just make this Rory McIlroy PGA Tour the standard bearer for this entire console generation when it comes to golf. So sure, that's definitely possible. And if that's where EA is going with this, then I can understand them, you know, figuring things out. At the same time, just, you know, the way that they've, you know, not talked about it is strange to me, if that is indeed their plan. I mean, you know, you look at, again, something like Harmonix, or a studio like Harmonix, which, you know, sure, they're an indie studio, but, you know, you look at them and what they've been saying all along, ever since they announced Rock Band 4, was like, look, this is a platform, you know, we're just going to keep adding to it over time, music and features. So, you know, maybe that's EA's plan, But if that is the plan, then I feel like them coming out at the start and saying we're not making this an annual franchise and, you know, you should buy into this because we're going to keep adding to it. Like, I feel like that's a that only gets you more good press or at least more press, you know, if you come out with that at the beginning of your promotional campaign. I mean, at least it's something interesting. And also, you know, again, it would mitigate to some extent the fact that they've only got 8 courses right now.
Oh, and good. Is there anything to read in to the fact that there are already deals for Rory McIlroy PGA Tour? For example, if you're an Amazon Prime member and you pre-order, you get it for $50, not $60. Does that say anything to you, or is that just, you know, good business and, you know, you're, that's just, you know, a way to get, you know, a few more, you know, a few more sales, but it doesn't really sort of say anything other than that.
I don't know. This industry comes up with new and ever increasing cynical ways to sell. So I'm not sure what that portends. I would figure that if there was actually content behind it, you know, to induce people buying that, it'd be on the surface. It would be, you get it for 50 or you get it for 60 and you get, you know, Whistling Straits or whatever else. I think that's just please buy our game, you know, inducements with a corporate partner as opposed to, you know, some more sinister or some other, you know, ominous thing that says, hey, here's what's coming down the line. I just, if they have other courses in the pipeline, those things are going to be sold separately or, you know, they're ones that they're going to be offering for free because they can't on a disc.
What's your sense, Owen, of how EA is positioning Rory McIlroy overall, right? It did not have a presence at E3, or if it did, it was relatively small. You know, they're at the U.S. Open, you know, or was it the U.S. Open? Yeah, the U.S. Open was just a few weeks ago, and one of the courses that is in the game was where the where the U.S. Open was played, you know, and Jordan Spieth won it. Jordan Spieth is in Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. You know, there's golf has kind of got a little bit of excitement now because you got Spieth, who's won 2 of the 4 majors already. And yet it feels to me, and maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, it feels to me like EA is not really heavily promoting this. Do you get that same sense? And if so, like, sort of what's your take on how EA really feels about this and how they're positioning this right now?
Well, you know, I would like to think that video games media is the be-all and end-all of anything related to a video game, and I know it is. you know, EA has done things with golf media in the past, you know, Golf Week or Golf Digest or whatever, where they have gone in and specifically, you know, cooperated with them on major features, you know, that I would have killed to have access to, you know, including Tiger Woods himself. Hello. And it's because this game speaks to, I think, a marketplace and a demographic that is outside of the readership, frankly, of, you know, what Submit and I write to, you know, every day. And then, frankly, of the listenership of this podcast. You know, there are people who, you know, buy a console because of their children and what they want to play. And then this is the one game that they want to play in the evenings or whenever. And I think, you know, to be honest, a lot of sports video gaming is like that. And that it's so hard for me not to refer to this series by that name.
Yeah. And the worst part is saying Rory McIlroy. Just, it's not easy to say.
Yeah.
That.
Well, it really doesn't work when it's 11:45 and you've been drinking. I think the Rory McIlroy PGA Tour is an even a more specific subset of that, which is, just not to be stereotypical, but, you know, dad bought the Xbox One, because, you know, his daughter and son said, I want to play this. And he said, OK, fine. We need to have the latest and greatest thing, just like the iPhone that he bought for himself. And they got it. And they play and enjoy all of the great games, you know, Sunset Overdrive or whatever that they want on the, you know, Halo Master Chief Collection when it works. But then he goes, oh, well, I can play golf on this. Okay, great. And he does, not because of the Kinect. God knows that thing has been shut down, practically speaking.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do think that, you know, here is why I have always been, I have tried to be really careful about blanket pronouncements about, you know, a developer's intentions with regard to the licenses that it can seek. That's very important, or already controls. And that's because they have a range of telemetry that we just don't have and that we don't understand. Like, even if they were to provide the raw data to us, we would not understand it ourselves. And it tells them a lot that they need to know about how to sell a game, particularly when you are spending a lot of money to bring in people like Tiger Woods or Rory McIlroy, you know, or Augusta National, if it's going to join this or not, you know, or Pebble Beach or Torrey Pines or TPC Sawgrass. They need to know, okay, how many people really enjoy these things? And they have the data that shows that. And, you know, what we may be seeing here is the loss of Augusta is, you know, to any fans, I mean, anyone would pay any amount of money, and I really do believe up to $100, to put Augusta National in that game and bring it to your home. I really do. So I think that the loss of that course there is because that was a very unusual deal that was term limited, and it's with a licensing authority that just doesn't need the money. You know, Major League Baseball does not have a video game. So I'm sure Augusta National is fine not having a video game too. That kind of thing. And so there, once you start to bring that together, then you go, well, maybe this is the time for EA Sports to use its golf game as a kind of test market for sports as a service, for a platform, as Sumit mentioned earlier in this podcast, and to, you know, to make it, you know, sort of the something that serves a range of experiences like the music games, where you don't buy every, you know, song, you buy them piecemeal down the line. Of course, there are more songs than golf courses. Maybe this is what we're seeing. You know, EA has been freed from Tiger Woods, who is, you know, an absolutely commanding presence, even in his decline, is a commanding presence in golf. If you hitch up with him, you have to venerate him. And you saw it in Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13, where they had the whole, you know, story mode about him and his childhood and his teenage years and things like that. Or if you hitch up with Augusta National, you have to venerate them, as you saw in Tiger Woods PGA Tour 14, where you had the historical mode. And, you know, well, I mean, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus were another thing. But still, that was very much about Augusta National. Maybe now they're going, OK, if we've been liberated from all of that, let's see if we can create a platform that, you know, serves all of golf and everyone's need to play golf, either in a career mode or online, give them a great experience doing that. And then we can roll in this other stuff later. This may be that kind of a bridge that is unsatisfying now, but is a little more understandable and maybe a little more noble than what we saw with NHL, where they just stripped out features because they didn't have the time or the bandwidth.
Hmm. I like the sound of that. Like, I am all for experimentation, right? If Rory McIlroy PGA Tour is an experiment, I am fine with that. It would be nice to sort of have a better idea of that going in. And again, it's not like we don't know what you're getting on day one. You know what you're getting on day one. You're getting 20 golfers, 8 or 9 courses that are real, a handful of fantasy courses. You're going to be able to play online against your friends. You're going to be able to set up tournaments and things like that. You'll be able to play a career mode. Like, there's, no matter what you say, there's plenty of game there. You may not like certain things about it. Maybe the game is terrific at the core. Maybe it's not. We don't know. But if it is an experiment, I'm fine with that. We all know that, every industry is going through significant changes, right? The video game industry, the entertainment industry, the media industry, energy industry. There's probably not one major industry that you can look at that is not going through or has gone through some sort of transformation. Games are just, a small, example of that. So I guess it would be nice to know more, but I sort of understand why we don't. So I guess, Sumit Sarkar, what do you think? What do you think? I don't even want to ask you what you think EA's expectations. What are your expectations? What do you think? How do you think this game is going to do out of the gate with the people that are sort of in the traditional wheelhouse of the the PGA Tour fans? Do you think they're going to sort of line up and get it day one sight unseen? Do you think there's much more of a wait and see approach? What do you think is going to happen? How's this going to land?
I think with a game like PGA Tour, it's a bit of an outlier in the simulation sports gaming world. You certainly do have a segment of the audience that is your typical diehard sports gamer, the person who's who follows at EA Sports Golf, and the person who's reading developers' forum posts on Operation Sports. At the same time, I always got the sense that maybe this is inaccurate, but I always got the sense that there was a large portion of the Tiger Woods PGA Tour audience that was, your typical dad who was a fan of golf and had an Xbox 360 and bought maybe 5 games a year, and this was one of them. And they were totally happy to get in every year and then shoot the breeze with their beer buddies while playing in a tournament online or whatever. And so, those people will probably just hear there's a new PGA Tour game. Maybe by this point they've picked up one of the new consoles and they'll be excited to hop on the course until they find out that the course they'd like to hop on is not in the game. But by then they will have already spent the $60. So I think that unless we get more clarity from EA prior to launch about the specific nature of their plan for this game going forward, you might see some trepidation from the diehard crowd, but I think that the series has enough of a built-in audience that it'll do okay.
Owen Good, you will be pleasantly surprised by Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf if blank.
Oh, wow. Because I'm so heavily invested in the career mode and because that is so dependent on the number of courses that are available either at launch or, frankly, overall. And that's the, let's back up here. They talk about free content update. We don't know what even the paid DLC course options are going to be on this, right?
Yeah, we don't. If somebody does, I certainly don't.
Yeah, are they 2, 10, 14, 28? Who knows? So I will be pleasantly surprised if oh my God, it's so bad to say this because it's such bad behavior to encourage in a publisher. I will be pleasantly surprised if, the game arrives and day one there are, 6 additional courses.
Interesting. Sumit Sarkar, you will be pleasantly surprised by Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf if blank.
I'll be pleasantly surprised if it is indeed a platform as opposed to an annual release. We've seen some chatter that this won't be an annual release for EA. Maybe it is a Maybe this kind of summer window is something that they'll alternate every other year, where, you know, in 2015 it's PGA Tour, in 2016 maybe they have a new UFC game, and then, you know, maybe they do it every other year, who knows, or maybe this is just them experimenting with PGA Tour, and golf kind of is its own thing that is unique in the way EA publishes sports games. Either way, I'd like to see that, just because I'm generally on board with our digital future, and I'm really curious to see how EA's implementation of that for what has typically been an annual franchise would work. Who knows? Maybe they turn it into a thing where it's not free to play, because obviously you're spending $60 to buy in at the beginning. But maybe it's something like they introduce free courses and paid courses via DLC, and they bring back the old coin system from, what was it, PGA Tour 13, I think. Where you can pay to unlock the course, or you can just earn coins in the game and spend them to unlock the course that way. Who knows? There are certainly a lot of options that they could, or a lot of options that they have here. I just wish that we knew more about it at this stage before launch.
Yeah, I think the best opportunity that this game has for me is to incorporate a lot of the social aspects of it that they really sort of did a good job to a degree with, and then the golf club took to the next level, which is basically I don't have to be on at the same time as my friends, but I can still be competing with my friends in a round or a tournament or a match or something like that. If I could play the ghost of Owen Good and sort of, I'm trying to beat his score in quote-unquote real time, and those kinds of things. I hope that they, and I know that there's some aspect of that that has already been discussed and in the works. But for me, the number of courses is it'd be nice if there were more. But with the golf club, and granted they're not licensed courses, but there's so many courses, it's completely overwhelming, right? And my point is, the reason I play the golf club and enjoy it so much is not because there are so many courses. It's because whenever I go in, I just hit the button that says play, and then I just see, here's like 7 or 8 different options that I can have to go play against my friends and play against them, with their real scores, and either try to beat them or not. And as I'm playing, I'm seeing, what they're doing. And I can either wait to see, if they sink that shot, or I can try to make the shot first and then see what happens. Like, a lot of that has been really fun for me in the golf club. And if they incorporate that, to me, that if it's a fun social aspect that doesn't depend upon me being online at the same time as my friends who are also playing the game, that would forgive many of the other potential sins about a lack of courses and at launch. Now again, I don't know if that's ultimately going to be true or not, but that's sort of my thing with it. So sort of to put a bow on this then. So, Owen, are you expecting yourself, as a PGA Tour golf guy, are you expecting 30 days after launch to be in the middle of playing some PGA Tour? Do you think it's going to have some staying power for you based upon what little you know right now?
If it does, it's going to be on the gameplay specifically. It's going to have to be, because they have taken what I have understood about this game and, made my impersonation of golf competence, which is what a golf video game is, because God knows it's so hard in real life. They have made that even more, prolific, more realistic, while also being, more satisfying. And God, threading that needle, when you think about it, creating a golf game, it's like, how do we make this realistic without just completely punishing and making someone miserable?
Yeah,
it's a hard task. So I'm going to have to put it on gameplay, which is a big, big, big ask. I will be very much – actually, let me back that up. I hate the loading times in Tiger Woods PGA Tour 14, which, you know, I continue to play and will keep because of Augusta National. And, you know, to the extent that those things become non-existent, will definitely keep me engaged. I think that they will keep a lot of people who play online engaged, that you can just go hole to hole to hole to hole. Those are the things that will keep people coming back. I don't know that Tiburon is far-sighted enough to say, yep, that's worth putting our chips into the pot right here, everything right now, forgetting Tiger Woods, forgetting Augusta National and all the other stuff. But I'm willing to look on that as something that I don't know that will keep me coming back to this game repeatedly. If you can, especially now, let's also think of this. In the PlayStation 4 with the suspend game feature, and all of you who play MLB The Show know this, if you can just come right back into it a day later on the same hole and just go through it six holes at a time.
Fantastic.
Get up, go to work, come back home, play two holes, eat dinner, come back, play another seven. That will be a very nice user experience. So, again, I'm really not trying to cop out and say mixed bag or I don't know. I really just don't know. I think the gameplay could and the visuals could be something that do make you go, well, hell, you know, previous editions of the game, even with all the courses I don't have now, are nowhere near as good and not worth playing. But if they don't nail that, you could say, well, I don't really want to play this game because it doesn't have the Masters. And so it's just it's a wait and see. I want it to be a game I want to play a month after I get it. I really, really do. But I just don't know right now.
I'm actually really hoping that there are aspects of this game that I just didn't even realize that I wanted, like these pleasant surprises, right? Like I always talk about, one of the reasons I love MLB The Show is I'm playing a complete 162 game season right now in MLB The Show because I player lock for the first four or five innings, which means it takes like 2 or 3 minutes on a one batter. Then around the sixth inning, I undo the player lock and I play the rest of the game. And it's just been a complete change. It has just opened up so much more enjoyment of that game to me, as well as, you know, the fact that this year the online works and we're having fun in our online franchises. Like, these are very different experiences with MLB The Show than I had just a couple of years ago. I'm hoping, and like you nailed it, Owen, right? Like, if you know, if there are just ways that this thing works with on the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, that are just different than we've ever experienced, that could mitigate some of the other potential negatives. And I'm just hoping that that's the case. Smit Sarkar, I mean, I don't know what your history is with PGA Tour golf, if you played a ton of it or not. I mean, what do you think would have you playing it 30 days after launch just for fun? You know, what scenario would you envision that happening?
You know, I really would like to see some more of my favorite courses back in the game. I mean, obviously, probably not Augusta National initially, but you know, I'm not a big beach fan myself, but I do love playing Pebble Beach in the or loved it in the previous video games, and Bethpage Black is not too far from where I live in New York. So you know, that's another one, you know, real tough course. I think, you know, to Owen's point, that the gameplay stuff that they're implementing this year is definitely huge. The loading times were onerous in some of those previous games, and I'm just excited to see these courses in you know, their new 1080p. Splendor for sure, but I don't know, man. That career mode is gonna have to be really engaging, or you know, the gameplay career mode together, I think, in order for me to still be playing a month in.
Well, I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm, you know, could be naive, could have you know, my expectations shattered, but I'm looking forward to some next-gen high-definition golf. We will see in just a couple of weeks what direction this rather mysterious PGA Tour game is taking. So thank you, Mr. Sumit Sarkar and Mr. Owen Good, for joining us tonight. I hope you guys have a terrific summer. It is, we're not that far away from hitting the 5 to 6 week blitz of all the major sports games. So relax, play a little golf, have a little fun, and we will talk to you again real soon. So for Sumit Sarkar from Polygon and Owen Good from Polygon, I'm Rich Grisham. Thanks as always for listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, thanks.